Greetings, friends, and welcome to The Sound of Faith. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for joining us today because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we have a very special word of the Lord for you today. There is a righteous cause. This means to stand up for a cause that is on God's heart and to defend His name and His word. And the abortions being done in this country is such a cause. Proverbs 31:8 says, "Open your mouth for the dumb in the cause of all who are appointed for destruction." The dumb are those who have no voice. And I say to you, the unborn in their mother's wombs have no voice. And when there is an appointment on the calendar with the abortion clinic, they are appointed to destruction. We must open our mouths to speak for them. This is a righteous cause.
How many of you have ever heard of the Hippocratic Oath? How many of you not heard of it? Okay, everybody else slaps the person next to you because most everybody's asleep. Well, I assume that you don't know or you would have raised your hand. The Hippocratic Oath is the oath that was written by Hippocrates, a Greek physician who was called the father of medicine. And it is an oath that is taken by new doctors that are getting ready to practice medicine. And it states the obligations and the proper conduct that doctors will perform in their office. It's one of the oldest binding documents in history. And one day I was going to the doctor to get my eyes checked, and I was waiting. And, you know, I get tired of sitting for a long time in one place. I have to get up and walk around. So I'm walking around the office. I'm trying not to look too conspicuous, so I act like I'm reading the stuff that's on the walls, you know, all the frame stuff. And I act like I'm reading it so I can walk around. And so I came upon one that said the Hippocratic. That must have been the Holy Ghost. That must have been the Holy Spirit. The Hippocratic Oath. And so I started reading it. And you know, one of the main adages that came out of that, which you probably recognize, is first, do no harm. How many have heard that before? In other words, doctors, before you start cutting people open and coming up with treatment plans, first, do no harm. Don't make them worse than they are. So I was reading it, and I thought it was quite interesting. And then I came across this line that said, "I will not give a woman a pessary," which is another word for medicine. "I will not give a woman a medicine to cause an abortion. In purity and according to divine law, I will carry out my life and art." And when I read that, I thought, oh my goodness. I didn't realize that it said in that oath, "I will not give a woman any drug or anything to cause her to have an abortion." And that, I mean, it struck me. So as soon as I got home, I went and looked it up on the internet. And guess what I found out? I found out that in 1964, the academic dean of the medical school of Tufts University, he reworded it into a modern version. And the line about abortion that I just read to you was deleted. That's why it's the Hippocratic Oath. Amen? And I was surprised to see that most medical schools now, when they take that oath, some of them don't even take it anymore, but those who do take it, they have removed that line from the oath. But God sees all of that. Amen? And you know, I've told this before, but let me just bring this up because I find it so interesting. As you know, the Hebrew language, the ancient Hebrew language of 22 letters, were first written as word pictures, which later evolved to become letters. So if you know the word pictures in the spelling of a word, it gives you an additional underlying meaning to the word. And so the word for womb, a woman's womb, is rekem, and it's spelled the three-letter root, because all Hebrew words have a three-letter root. Its three letters of its root are rosh, and rosh is a picture of a head, and it means a person. And then ket is a picture of a fence, and it either means a fence or to be surrounded by something. And mem is a picture of water, and it just means water. So when you put the three word pictures together, this is the meaning of a mother's womb. It means a person surrounded by and protected by water. Isn't that beautiful? That is exactly what that child is like in its mother's womb. Amen? And here's the other thing that is really the kicker. When God wanted to come up with a word in Hebrew to mean mercy or compassion, guess what word he used? The same exact word as womb, rechem. The same word. So the word rechem has a double meaning. It means literally a mother's womb, and it also means mercy or compassion. Amen? And so there is nothing, in other words, in God's mind, there's nothing more definitive of protection and love than a baby in its mother's womb. To God, that's the ultimate definition of being loved and protected, is a baby in utero. Until abortion came in the picture. Amen? It's something to think about. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. Ezekiel 16. And we'll read the first six verses. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. So what we're about to read now, in God's definition, is abomination. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. So God is pronouncing judgment on the city of Jerusalem for their sins. It's an analogy, but let's go on and read, and then we're going to take it literally. Verse 4. And as for thy nativity, or as for thy birth, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, thine umbilical cord was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live! Yea, I said unto thee, live! So what is going on here? This is a picture, friends, of abortion. Let's look at when the day of thy birth, the day that you were born. You know, when the baby is born, now they'll tell the father, if he's there, they'll say, okay, now you want to cut the umbilical cord? And they'll say, okay, cut in between here and here. And they do it gently and lovingly. Amen. It's a very special rite that the father does with great love and great pride, to cut that umbilical cord. But he said, no, your navel was not cut, and neither were you washed in water to supple thee. Now, obviously, the baby was eventually cut away from the mother. But we're taking it that the normal way of a normal birth of a child, with the parents and the love and the way a baby is treated when it's born, is not happening to this baby. Amen. He said, you weren't washed to supple thee. How many know when the baby comes out, it has this protective coating on it, and it's got to be wiped off. And there's blood on the baby, and you have to wipe it off. And so you just don't go rubbing a baby like this. You gently rub the baby, gently. So the baby that's just born and going through the trauma of being born, you don't want to further traumatize the little baby. So you lovingly wipe it away. Sometimes they just do it a little at a time. They don't just rub it all off right away, because that baby needs to feel protected and safe. He said, you weren't salted. Now in the Old Testament, and they still do it today in some Middle Eastern countries, they salt the babies. They take salt and they rub the baby because it kills germs. It kills bacteria. And so, you know, a lot of these babies in some of these nations aren't born in sterile hospitals like we have. These babies were born at home and in tents even. So they would take salt and lovingly wipe the baby down. He said, nobody salted you. No one suppled you. Amen. And the word supple, you know, that means something that's flexible and soft. So you would be very carefully wiping the baby's little fingers and little arms and little toes. Oh, what a picture. What a dichotomy from taking forceps and reaching up in the mother's womb and grabbing the leg and pulling the baby out. The baby that is loved and wanted is suppled gently. Every little limb is gently wiped so that you don't hurt one of the joints, pull a shoulder out of joint, pull an elbow out of joint. Amen? He said, nobody suppled you and nobody cleaned you and washed you and nobody salted you. You weren't swaddled. Now, I saw that swaddling is coming back. What is swaddling? It's when they take the baby, and they do this. It's very popular in Italy, but it's coming to the United States. They take the new baby. Now, this baby is used to being floating around inside its mama, no gravity. And now it's brought out of that safe, warm place, dark and comfortable, out into this place. It's all these lights. And you know, the only fear that a baby has right away is the fear of falling. All the other fears they have to learn. They learn that. But a baby has a fear of falling. And that's why sometimes when you pass the baby around to certain people to hold them, one time, one person, the baby will scream bloody murder. Is it because they don't like that person? No. They're not comfortable with the way they're being held. They don't feel secure. Maybe that person, you know, some people are scared to hold babies. Like, oh. And so the baby feels that and senses that. But another person will just have that baby, you know. Like, Ben used to walk around with Sarah like a football. You know, even our little dog, who only weighs 8 pounds, he's like that. Benny can pick him up and carry him around, he's fine. But when I pick him up, he starts trembling and getting nervous because I don't have the strength and the bulk that Benny has. And he tells the difference. He loves me, but he wants to get down. He wants to get down and I can pet him when he's down. But when I hold him, he gets like real antsy. And it's because he's afraid I'm going to drop him. Amen? And so what they do when they swaddle the babies is they have these, you know, large blanket type things, and they put the baby in there. And it's something to see. I saw a video of it. You maybe be able to find it on YouTube or something. And they swaddle this baby. I mean, you need to go to class to learn how to do this. They got this way. They wrap it this way and wrap it that way and do it the other way. And the baby's like this. And they got the baby all wrapped up and snuggled up. And I would think that the baby would be screaming like I'm in a straitjacket. Uh-uh. The baby loves it. It's quiet. And the baby doesn't cry. It feels safe. We'll go to sleep. Amen. He said, but nobody swaddled you. Nobody wrapped you up in a nice warm bunting. They used to call it bunting at one time. Amen. To make you feel safe and to make you feel loved. He said, nobody had pity on thee. Who's going to have pity on the 58 million? Somebody say 58 million. 58 million babies that have been aborted since 1973 in the United States of America. Gee, I wonder how many doctors and lawyers and musicians and artists and preachers and teachers and evangelists, I wonder how many geniuses that could have done something great for the world, discovered something great for humanity, were among those 58 million babies. Amen? He said, no one had pity on you. No one had compassion on you. But you were cast out into the open field to the loathing of your person. Loathing is a strong word. Amen? In the day that thou wast born, you were thrown away like rubbish. How many stories have we heard of them finding babies in trash compactors? Amen. How many times have we found, they go to empty those big containers, commercial ones that are behind stores and such, and they find babies in the dumpsters. Amen. Or they find them where they could be eaten by wild animals. How many times have we heard stories of young women that didn't know what to do, kept it a secret, and now all of a sudden they gave birth and they go and flush the baby in the toilet? It's not necessary. If a young girl is just a young teenager and she don't know what to do with this baby and she's in no shape, condition, or mindset to raise that child, there are people out there that will take that baby and love that child and raise that child. She doesn't have to flush it down the toilet. Amen? I mean, if the government can give out money so you can have an abortion, they ought to be able to give out money so that you can go 9 months, take care of you, take care of your hospital bills, let you take care of when you have the baby, and set it up for adoption. Yes. I mean, if they can pay for abortions, yes, they can pay for a young girl who has no one to help her. Yes. To put her somewhere in a home with other young girls and pay for all her expenses until that baby is born. There's no excuse. Amen? There is no excuse. No one cared about you, he said. They just stuffed you in a plastic bag and threw you in the dumpster. Amen? Or flushed you down the toilet. What do they say? They tell these young girls, it's not a baby. It's a blob of tissue. Amen? It's just a wad of flesh. That's all it is. No meaning, no value, no legal right. It's just a wad of tissue. Amen? And no one to care about it. But you know, things are changing in some places. In some cities, there are clinics that are set up right near the abortion clinic, or a big, huge mobile bus that has sonogram equipment in the bus, and they go and park near the abortion clinics, and they get those young women who are about to get an abortion to come in there and say, just let us show you a sonogram. Every time a woman sees her baby on that sonogram, That's it. She can't go through with the abortion. When she sees what a liar you all have been, saying it is a wad of flesh, a wad of tissue. Oh my goodness, I can see the 10 little toes and the 10 little fingers. I can see his nose. It looks like me. You can't lie to them after that. Once they see that, especially these new 3D ones. I mean, you can really tell if the baby looks like mom or dad, a lot of them. So once those young girls see that, they're in shock. And most of the time, they really didn't have any idea. They were told, they were sold the lie, and they had no reason not to believe it. And well, when they see that living child, there are children that you catch on sonograms when they're hiccuping. They've catched them like this, clapping their hands. Amen? And when they see that, they can't go through with that abortion. But God said they threw you out in a field in your own blood, a baby lying there polluting its own blood. And God said, but I passed by. And when I passed by, I said, live, live. God is not the God of pro-choice. God is the God of pro-life. Amen. And he said, I said, live. And he's saying to us, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time for you to open your mouth for those who have no voice. It's time for you to stand up for a righteous cause, for the child in its mother's womb whose days are numbered. And there is a mark on the calendar for that child, but it's not the due date of its birth. It's the appointment date with the abortion clinic. And God says it's time for you to stand up on their behalf. Now, in closing, I want to read to you this poem that the Lord had given to me back in 2008. You know, in 2008, I preached this message, and I said, the day is coming shortly when a lot of these issues are going to be decided by the Supreme Court. Amen? And they have been. This partial birth and abortion thing, it got through. They passed it. It's a terrible thing. If they could at least get rid of that, amen, that would be one step closer in getting rid of abortion in America. But let me read you this poem that the Lord gave to me. I made a few copies. If some of you are interested, they'll be up here. Dear aborted one, you were never coddled and cuddled, swaddled and suppled with a warm blanket to your chest, anointed with baby oil or nursed at a loving breast. You were never kissed on your little fingers or on your 10 tiny toes, sweetly nuzzled in the soft of your neck or on the button of your nose. No, none of these were done to you, but you were left in the land of death, and no one heard your silent cry nor felt your failing breath. No one but I. But I passed by, saith the Lord, and saw you polluted in your own blood. And I said to you, live, live, little one, for my plans for you are good. Though your mother forsake you, never embrace you, nor have mercy on the child of her womb, I will take you and gently bear you to your sacred unmarked tomb. You were never claimed or named, serenaded or celebrated, your unique footprints recorded. What purpose for non-persons like you, appointed to be aborted? They called you a blob of tissue, not a baby, but just a wad of flesh, of no value or destiny, no right to life, no personhood, no right to be. But every hair on your head is numbered, and in my book of life, every one written down. Next to the day you should have been born, your DNA is found. So rest peacefully, little Johnny and Jenny, your little members in the cradle of the earth, till resurrection dawning, the day of your new birth. So in closing this message, I just want to reiterate what I said in the beginning. Please get the website and phone numbers on the bulletin board this week. It'll only take you a short time, whether if you want to go online to do it or you want to call. You don't have to have a long conversation. You have to say, I want there to be a congressional investigation into Planned Parenthood's selling of baby parts. And be a voice for those who have no voice.
Amen. What a passionate word of the Lord. There is a righteous cause. We are commanded to open our mouths for the cause of those who have no voice and who were appointed to destruction. This is exactly the plight of the unborn who have an appointment on the calendar, not for their birthday, but their mother's appointment with the abortion doctor. We must be the voice of 60 million babies aborted in the United States. Abortion is tantamount to child sacrifice in ancient times, which God hated and commanded the death penalty for all those who killed their children. But God also commanded that all those who witnessed child sacrifice and did nothing to punish the perpetrators should also be judged. God will judge politicians who legislate for abortions, those who provide for abortions, and those who profit from abortions. But he will also judge his people who look the other way and do not lift up their voices for this righteous cause. Pro-choice is a euphemism for pro-death, but you will never hear a politician claim to be pro-death. Pro-choice sounds positive, a woman's right to choose what she does with her own body. But God says she does not have the right to kill the baby in her womb. Make no mistake, the only choice she has is between having a living baby or a dead baby. But either way, she's going to have a baby. In the parable of the unwanted baby of Ezekiel 16, God said to the baby dying in its own blood, live, yea, I say, live. What do we say? Do we say live, or do we look the other way? There Is a Righteous Cause can be ordered on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Request SK-142. Mail to Sound of Faith, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or go online to soundoffaith.org, where you can also order on MP3s. But to order by mail, send your minimum love gift of $10 to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Request offer SK-142. Till next time, this is Sharon Knott saying, Maranatha.